This is what we read of in the first few chapters of Acts. What do we find when the apostles stood up to preach the gospel? We see persecution, suffering, and yet they rejoiced in it, that they could be counted worthy to suffer for Christ. I wasn't thinking of that verse where they said, and they rejoiced that they could suffer. Is it chapter 4 or chapter 3? Acts. Now we can find it later.
I think it's instructive to do a comparison of Moses and Jonathan. Moses was not a biological son of Pharaoh's daughter. Nevertheless, he was an adoptive son. He was brought up in the palace in Egypt, highly educated, privileged, everything was available to him, but when he was come to years, or when he was become great, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, or enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin. That he had a choice. And the Israelites in Egypt, they were shepherds, they were despised people, they were slaves, they were nobodies. Moses had everything. He said, no, I don't want to. I'm going to make a decision. He identified with the people of God. And he refused certain things. And he took a path of reproach. And again, going back to what Mark said, it was the reproach of Christ coming out there, the sufferings of Christ. Jonathan was in the palace. He had the choice, but he chose to remain there. He didn't go out to David, to the cave of Adullam, and he missed out, as we've said, on so many things.
Jonathan was not one of the 400 men. It mentions 400 men that came to David. And they came because they heard where he was, and they were willing to identify with him, as we say. But I think of that number 400, and when you think about the size of the armies of Saul and the size of the nation of Israel at that time, that's a very small number when you consider that. That they came there. But these were 400 willing to connect themselves with David and be rejected with him. And the Lord always has, no matter what time period in the history of mankind, he will always have a remnant of faithful ones that will stand for him and be with him in his rejection. So let us be that. Let us be among those 400.
They were quite the cast of characters, weren't they? Human nature has often been described as being a combination of three components: affect, our emotions; behavior, what we do; cognition, what we think. We have those ABCs represented here. We have those who are distressed. These are the ones that are emotionally distraught. And we have those in debt. They're behaviorally in trouble. And then you have those who are discontented. Those are the ones who are mentally struggling. So those are the ones that gave the truth to the band of 400, just like Christ for each of us as sinners with our problems.
They were willing to see David as their leader. It says here that he was captain over them. So they acknowledged his place. And this is so significant because man always wants to have a place. But when we give Christ his place, all will fit together properly. We acknowledge Christ as the head. And when we give him that place, the rest falls into place properly. And so it says here, he became captain over them. So he was in the right place. He was their leader. He was the one they looked to. He's the one they knew could guide them and who would meet their needs. And they had needs. So they looked to him.
Gideon had his 300. And here David had his 400. And Elijah thought he was left alone. He thought he was the only one that remained faithful. But the Lord had to tell him that there were 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. But isn't the Lord very gracious to us? Lord, he comes down to 2 or 3, the lowest plurality. Doesn't even say 2 brothers. It just says 2 or 3. If 2 or 3 are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. So the Lord takes account of, I'm sure in that word, of conditions that prevail in the Christian profession and conditions that even have come in our own day. And the point is, if 2 or 3 are gathered together unto his name, he says, there am I in the midst of them. It may not be 400 or 100 or 40, but we need to strengthen the 2s and the 3s until the Lord comes. And today, he says, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, or 2 and 20, or whatever the number, Mr. Kelly described it as the lowest plurality. In other words, a number greater than 1. And the Lord says that where there's faithfulness, that he can be with us. And isn't that an encouragement?
Yeah, we need to always consider things from the Lord's perspective. And though 2 or 3 may be small in our sight, it's not so in the Lord's sight. And these people, this has already been mentioned, that gathered around David, they were small in the world's estimation. They were those who were in distress and so on. And perhaps just as a slight aside, I think there is a practical application for us in that we really ought to be, if we are faithful to Christ, we ought to be small in the world's sight. If we are successful in the world's things, then I think there's probably something wrong. It does say in 1 Corinthians that God has chosen the foolish things of the world and that he may put to shame the wise, and also that there are not many wise according to flesh, not many powerful, not many high-born. But to get back to the point that I was making or wanted to make, these ones, though they were small in the eyes of the world, in David's sight and more importantly in God's sight, they were mighty men. And these people are, or at least some of them, are included in the record of David's mighty men in 2 Samuel 23. I'm sure David viewed them in the same way, that the fact that they were distressed or whatever was irrelevant in his sight, and again, more importantly, in God's sight, they were mighty.